Pastor Mark mentioned Hurricane Dorian. We're very thankful for you guys joining with us and praying. And we really have been warring against that hurricane and believing it will turn northeast. Every year at CI, we really believe for a word of the Lord for the year, for what God is saying for the year. And in 2018, in January of that year, the word of the Lord that came to me and the Lord spoke to me was open doors in the eye of a storm, right? Open doors in the eye of a storm. And I knew what the Lord was saying. He was saying that if we wanted to get to our next level of victory and purpose and plan, that we were going to have to like fight through the eye wall of a hurricane to get into the inside. And on the inside of a hurricane, there's complete peace. There's blue skies, there's no wind, and all of the turmoil is outside of that inner eye area. And so I knew the Lord was saying that to me and had ministered that throughout the year. But I didn't know that in October of 2018, that we would have a Category 5 hurricane headed for CI, all right? And it was Hurricane Michael. And so Michael's coming for a direct hit on CI. Had it landed on CI, CI would be leveled. It was that strong of a hurricane. And so we prayed and we warred, and the landfall actually happened about 30 miles to the east of us in Panama City. Some of you know of Panama City and Mexico Beach and Tyndall Air Force Base and that area. And it completely leveled everything. I mean, you couldn't tell where the streets were anymore. Power lines were down. Thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of trees were snapped off like matchsticks. And it was interesting, they were snapped one way as the winds came from one way. They were snapped another way as it hit on the circle of winds that happened. And so it was just complete chaos and turmoil, to be quite honest. And so we get a call at the church, and someone calls and said, could you house about 30 first responders who are coming for Hurricane Michael? And we have some guys who are ex-military and CIA and stuff, and they said, oh, you won't even hardly know they're here. They'll bring sleeping bags, and they'll be fine. And so we say, yeah, we can do that. And so my daughter's in charge of, like, checking them in the first night. And so when they begin to show up the first night, we don't get 30, we get 60, all right, that come, all right? And the only thing they needed to know to get into the church to stay was the name of this man's, or this man's name. If you knew his name, that was your ticket in, all right? And so we had 60 the first night, we have 100 the next night, we have 150 the next night, and by the fourth night, we have 175 people now, all right, that are coming to stay at CI. Now, what we recognize really the first night is that they're really not first responders. They're really people that came to work on demolition crews. They came for the cleanup and came on that basis. And later we found it was through a temporary employment agency is where they were coming. And so it was a rough crowd of people, all right, guys and girls, all right? And so we had felons, we had drug addicts, we had, you know, anything you can imagine from a population, kind of cross-population cut. And many of them had spent their last dime to get there. So their cars were broke down along the road. They didn't have money to buy gas. They were just stranded, really, now here at CI. And so this is going on, you know, and so we have them there. And so this one young guy gets to be established as their leader. We didn't establish it, but the work company did. And he's this young guy with dreadlocks. He's about 6'6", 6'7", this big guy. He had a couple of other of his brothers with him that were just as big, if not bigger, than him. One was a pro basketball player. And so those three were, like, in charge of keeping control over this big group of people, all right? And so we give him a microphone, like, one of the first nights, and say, you want to, like, say something to the people? And he said, yeah. And so he gets this microphone, and he goes, if you go through that door, you're fired. If you do this, you're fired. If you do that, you're fired. He gave him like five or six charges like that, and that was it. That's all I said to him, all right? And like this hush fell over the whole place, you know? And I'm standing next to one of our young ministers that came to help from another state, and I elbow him. I say, hey, maybe we ought to adopt that leadership style in the church. It seems to work pretty well. So now that we have 175 people we've never seen before in the church 24/7, all right? And so we have to make some new rules of CI. So the guy whose idea was to bring them in the first place said, let me get out a whiteboard, I'll make some rules. So he gets out this whiteboard and makes new rules. The new rules are no sex, no drugs, no guns, no, you can imagine what the list needed to be. And we had kind of incidents with all of those situations. But overall, they were very respective during the time that they stayed there. Usually, the only complaints we had was from our neighbors who said, there's sure a lot of people smoking pot around CI in the woods at night. Which was true, and it was going on. But they're there for a couple of weeks, and for some reason on a Sunday, they don't have to go to work. So a lot of them came to the church service that Sunday morning. And Apostle Leon was the guest speaker that Sunday. And so during that service, about 50 or 60 of them get saved, all right? So it's a tremendous, you know, tremendous time. We started setting up water baptisms after that and began to water baptize people right and left from that point on. But it was kind of funny because I think Apostle Leon had a prophetic slip because when he was addressing the group at one point of time, he said, will all the first offenders please step forward? So he didn't mean to say that, I don't think, but it may have been quite appropriate. I don't know. But anyway, in a couple weeks, we had to transition them out. So a lot of them came to our house and stayed for a while until we could get them transitioned into different locations and places. But it really was a kind of a wake-up call. And the wake-up call was, are we really ready for the harvest time? Right? We believe and we've prophesied, we've decreed that we're moving into a season of harvest time. But when harvest happens, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to be ready to run with, all right, in terms of discipleship and in terms of some very practical base needs that are going to be there. So I just encourage you to get ready for harvest time. You never know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but God really did take and turn that whole situation for good. One of the other funny things that happened was, some of you know Pastor Tom Bishop's son. He's really merciful, and so he overheard this man talking one time and said, saying that he hadn't had a shower in like a couple of days, and so Pastor Tom goes, oh, he said, I've got a shower in the back of my office at the church, all right? That's the only shower we had at that point of time at CI. All right, and so you can imagine what happened, all right? The word gets out that there's a shower at Pastor Tom's office, so now you have 175 people wanting to get showers, and so they're sitting around his office every night, just like waiting patiently to go in and get a shower. But it was quite an experience, so that's why we understand that in a day, you know, a lot can change and a lot can happen. I want to share with you something this morning that I really believe that this year of 2019 is a year of birthing some new things, and that the Lord has some new things to be birthed in our life. And sometimes when God does things, he does them speedily, all right? And many times we've waited 20 years for maybe a breakthrough that happens. And I'm going to give you just a quick story about this and how the Lord showed this to me. And I like to play golf, so I play golf. I've got a friend that I minister with in Canada, and he has a church actually in Pensacola as well. And so I'm at his conference, and I just read an article that said that Florida was a number two state for eagles, that we had a population of eagles that was next to Alaska. And I've been in Florida now for over 25 years, originally from the Midwest. And so when I read that article, it kind of really struck me. And I was talking to the people, and I said, I've been in Florida for 25 years now, and I have never seen an eagle, all right? And so we're scheduled to play golf the next morning, a foursome. And so you can imagine what happens, all right? We go out on the golf course, and you know what? Eagles start showing up, all right? Bald eagles, brown eagles. But the most amazing thing was that one of the eagles came down and walked with us for about two or three holes on the golf course. I mean, we would hit golf balls at it and by it. It wouldn't flinch. It wouldn't move. It just stuck right with us and walked with us as we were going. And so we were really amazed by it. My partner here tried to feed crackers to it and all kind of things, which it didn't like. But after that, the Lord spoke to me, and what he said to me was that everything can change in a day. Right? Everything can change in a day. All right? And so I think we need to be ready this year for some of the new things that the Lord wants to do, where he brings change to us in a day. You know, we've had some surprising things that have happened for us, kind of like that over the years. I'm going to give away a couple of things. I do have some things back in the back, and with every CD, I'm going to give away one of my books. One's called Miracles Now, that have to do with physical healing miracles, and then this one is called Financial Miracles Now. And this was a story about after we relocated to be teamed with CI, we left everything behind and went through some real hardship financially when we were there. Couldn't find a job for like about 6 months, so we had to believe for groceries to come to the door, and it was just a tough season financially, but always knowing we were still at the right spot spiritually. And so one morning, Bishop has a word about God's releasing jobs for people. And it was like I just reached up and grabbed that word because we needed rent money by that weekend and needed other provision. And so it happened. The job opened up. It was a great job. The only problem, it was 3.5 hours away one way. All right. And so I commuted for about 3 years, 3.5 years, 3.5 hours one way to work, so that I could be where I knew God had called me to be spiritually. And so it was a challenging season. And then finally we got a little bit more established. And then one morning one of our prophets said that God has opened up a window of opportunity to buy property and land. Right? Now, we don't have any money at this point. But you know what? When you have the word of the Lord, you don't necessarily need the money. All right? It can show up. And so we went out looking, even though we didn't have money. And we stumbled upon this one tract of land, about 5 acres, and it was just scrub pine and sandy roads, so nothing too impressive in the natural. But we really felt that was it. And so we had to believe for $1,000 to put down on the contract to buy it, and we bought it for $27,500. And we ended up clearing part of it out, putting a mobile home on it, and living there for several years. Then they decided in our county, which is kind of a tourist area called the Beaches of South Walton, they decided that they were going to make a new town, and it was actually going to be called Newtown, all right? And part of that was going to land on our property, all right? Part of the platting landed on our property. And so we knew, like, wow, this is going to be good, and God foresaw this, you know, before we ever bought it. This was going to happen. And so after another period of time, I decided to sell it, met with a realtor. And when I sat down with him, I said, now, how much do you think, what do you think it's worth? And he said, well, he said, I think it's worth well over $1 million. And, you know, my mouth fell open, I'm sure. So we initially decided that we were going to list it for $1.2 million. And then somebody else came to me and said, I don't know why, but I think prophetically the Lord's saying to raise it $300,000. And so we listed it for $1.5 million, and it happened. It sold at $1.5 million. So from $27,000 to $1.5 million, God made it happen. And I always knew it was because we were in the right place positionally and spiritually. Right? That's where your breakthroughs will happen. We have to have our hearts positioned before the Lord, but secondly, we need to be in position in the kingdom where God's called us to be, then we need to be a tither. We need to be one that gives offerings. I believe that opens up the door to the miraculous in terms of finances. But really the funny part of this story about Newtown is that it never happened, all right? They never built Newtown, right? And that property still to this day, and that was since 2004, is vacant. They started to clear off a little bit of it, and nothing's changed on the property. And so God can make things happen from an unseen realm and make them visible in strategic ways just by the power of the prophetic, all right? And I want to give this to my brother right here, all right, and pray for you guys, all right? And you are?
Pastor Buddy.
Pastor Buddy?
No, I'm Keisha.
Okay. And can I just pray for you guys? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for my brother and sister today, and I lay hands on them. And Father, I charge them, Lord, for this season, this day, and this hour, in Jesus' name. For the Lord would say, son and daughter, even as you have been ones that have been willing to have your roots planted and to go deep in me, says God, the Lord would say that I'm positioning you for favor and for blessing from some unusual streams of income, says God.
Yes.
And the Lord would say that even as you've had to balance some things and wonder how to do this and how to do that, and your heart's been kind of torn at times between working and ministry and ministry and working, the Lord would say, know that I'm going to begin to cause there to be a smooth road for you to move forward.
Thank you.
And the Lord would say that as you have put your trust in me, the Lord would say you'll not be disappointed,
yes,
but the Lord would say great favor and will even come upon you, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For the Lord would say that you are pioneering a pathway for many to be set free.
Yes,
and the Lord would say, daughter, I've put a very strong prophetic anointing within you. And the Lord would say that you're one that is going to be like Deborah of old and ready to go to battle at the right time and right season and take land. And the Lord would say that even this year, it would have seemed like you would have felt the onslaught of the enemy coming from every side. But the Lord would say that I'm breaking the power of besiegement today and those things that have tried to rob from you. And the Lord would say that I'm bringing restoration. And the Lord would say that I'm causing even things that have been lost, not just those to be returned, but even more. And the Lord would say, son, there's going to be a strong anointing as a prophetic teacher that you're going to step into. And the Lord would say that I'm going to visit you this year with prophetic revelation. And the Lord would say you're going to have plans and strategies. And the Lord would say to cause my people to advance, to be built up, and to be successful. And so, Lord, we loose that anointing now, Father, to my brother and sister today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. All right. Well, I just want to tell you just a few stories, and we may not turn to every one to read. I'll just give you the references and for sake of time, and you can get those later. But about some people whose lives were changed in a day. I want to give away one more before I get into that. And that's a young married couple. Where are they at? The ones that got married in Ghana? Yeah, if you guys want to run up here. We have an African daughter that we brought to the U.S. that is now married, and she actually lives in Ghana, and she and her husband head up CI of West Africa. Based out of Ghana. So I take it you're originally maybe have some connections there, right? Okay. Well, I want to give you this one. This is called You Are the Light. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is a true light coming into the world and lightens every man. But in Matthew, it also says that we are the light as well. And I just felt the Lord said to give this one to you. And I just want to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my brother and sister, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have called them to be light and to manifest Jesus in some key and strategic ways. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that their hearts are going to break for the nations, Lord. And Lord, that you're going to empower them in the days ahead. And Lord, they're going to be ones that will even lead teams to nations for impact. And the Lord would say that even as this begins to transpire, the Lord would say that many are going to be set afire with missions in their heart. And the Lord would say that there's going to even come a wave over Jubilee. And the Lord would say that there's going to be a realm of missions activated, even in this house. And the Lord would say many will feel that calling and that anointing that you are putting within their hearts for this season. And the Lord would say they will step into it and see many captives set free, see many prisoners of war of the enemy released. And so, Lord, I just pray for my brother and sister today, Lord, and lay hands on them, and, Father, loose and empowering to them, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. And you, sister, do you have a younger sister?
Yes.
Okay, just one or more than one? Just one. The Lord's speaking to me about her, and she's not here today. But I hear the Lord saying that he's fashioning a plan for her to advance this year, and that it would seem like it would take some impossible things to happen for that to happen. But God says he wants you to know that he's the God of the impossible, and he can make it happen for her. And that you have interceded for her, that you have really cried out for her and for her destiny. And I hear the Lord say that she's not going to miss her destiny. But God is going to be with her to lift her up above the head of enemies and to cause her to advance this year. What's her name?
My name is Nellie.
All right, Father, right now we just send your word, Father, to this younger sister in the name of Jesus. And we decree now, Father, her steps to be ordered of you this year, Father, to bring the breakthrough that you desire. And we loose that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. All right. Well, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, if not my favorite scripture, comes from Ephesians 3:20, and it says there that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. All right. And so it says in Ephesians that there's a mystery that's been hidden for ages that's being revealed now through the church, and this mystery is Christ within us, the hope of glory, right? And so that's just what coming to the church around the world, this revelation that if we're born again and Jesus is alive within us, we can do signs, wonders, and miracles. We can see great transformation happen. We can see cities, states, and nations shift by the power of the prophetic. And we're seeing all of those things happen in that way. But one of the things we're finding out is that one of the things many times that needs to change is actually our minds, all right? It says that by the renewing of our mind, we really are transformed into being who God's called us to be. They're finding out today that there's an area of science called neuroplasticity, which actually means that our brains can change shape by the power of thought, all right? And there's a lady named Dr. Caroline Leaf that has written really good books about this, and it was kind of stumbled upon based upon working with people with traumatic injuries and things like that. But it was really interesting. So however we think helps shape our minds or our brain, which affects our mind. And so this is a year where God wants us to change our thinking. Many times to get to that very next level he has for us, it requires us to change and to change our thinking. Now, I'll give you a couple of stories. Lazarus is a great example. Mary, Martha, Jesus, Lazarus were all good friends, the Bible says. And, of course, Lazarus gets sick. Jesus is away. Mary and Martha are not completely distraught, because they know that Jesus heals people, right? And so they know that if they can get word to Jesus and have him come back and lay hands on Lazarus, that he's going to be fine, right? And so they send word to get him to come back. He's busy doing other ministry. He doesn't make it back in time. Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha are distraught now, right? They have no hope. They don't think there's anything that's ever going to change now. They think that it is settled and that it's done. And so when Jesus gets back, the first thing he says, he said, well, let's roll the stone away, you know. And now Mary and Martha are saying, well, no, let's not do that. That's not a good idea, all right? There's nothing possible by doing that, and he probably stinks by now, so we don't want to do that. But Jesus still convinced them, and they did. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and he was brought back to life, you know what happened? Mary and Martha's thinking level changed in an instant. And now no longer do they just see Jesus as a healer, but now they see him as one that can raise people from the dead. Right? And so in one day, everything changed for them. And in one day, their thinking level changed because of the power of who Jesus is. And I know that this year, the Lord has some strategic plans for us where he wants us to change our thinking level, and sometimes it may be in a day. And so if you have some kind of a health situation that you've battled 15, 20 years, we just came from a city tour where a lady was healed of stage 4 cancer, wasn't given very long to live. I've seen ladies laid across the front rows with tubes, given 2 weeks to live, that are healed over the next 4 to 5 weeks, all right? And so where we've put limits on things is a place where God can do more than we ever thought, all right? Now, I've always liked sports. My family likes sports, and we play a lot of sports, play basketball at CI. And so I was in a service at CI, and this has never happened to me before, and it's never happened after. But I was just sitting out in the congregation during a worship service, and I felt two angels come and lift my arms up above my head, all right? And this was about 9 o'clock on a Friday night. And I think I told Pastors Tom and Jane about it, and no one had any understanding, really. But the next morning, before I get out of bed, I get a phone call, and it's from this young Christian guy that wants to meet me at a property we had for sale. And so I went and met him there, and long story short, he ended up buying the property that morning before 9 o'clock. So within a 12-hour time period now, I've had this experience with the angels, and I've had this property sale. And so I'm just like rejoicing in the Lord that it sold because I really needed it to. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, it wasn't by coincidence that you had that experience and then the land sold. He said angels were involved with all of it. Right? And so I just kind of pondered that, you know, and was just thankful that, you know, that it happened, and thankful that angels are on our side and they're working for us. And I do believe it's a season where angels are being dispatched for us to get victories that we haven't had before. And so almost 1 year after that, I'm playing basketball at CI, and I have a collision with Apostle Tom, and I hit him with my right shoulder and tear every ligament in my shoulder, the rotator cuff, 2 other ligaments, really bad. Have to go in for kind of an emergency quick surgery. And in the middle of the surgery, the doctor stops and comes out and talks to Shelley and said, I can't reattach this rotator cuff. And this guy was like really a world-renowned surgeon to do this operation. He said, it just torn too bad. He said, I just can't do it. And she said, okay, well, you know, do the best that you can. And so he does, and I get out of the surgery, and I go back to see him maybe like 6 weeks later or something like that for a follow-up. And he said, okay, let me see you move your shoulder. And I could do anything with it. It was like completely fine. I could do anything. And his eyes got kind of big. And he said, a lot of times people that have kind of that surgery that is a failed surgery, he said, can only like move their shoulder like a little bit. And so I'm just thankful that, you know, God healed me and restored. But then I remembered what the angel did, right? And the angel, a year before, lifted this arm up above my head, which would have been the very thing that I wouldn't have been able to do, all right? So Jesus is a reason for every miracle, right? He paid the price for our healing. By his stripes we're healed. But Angels help us get our victories, right? And angels fight against demonic forces, all right? So guess what? Where there's cancer, there's spirits of cancer. Where there's diabetes, there's spirits of diabetes. And angels fight against forces of darkness. So they're on our side trying to get us our victories, all right? And as we co-labor with them this year, we're going to see some really great things happen in the way. And in a day, everything can change. So maybe it's been something you've been battling for 15 or 20 years. God says in a day, everything can change. I hear from my brother and sister, is this a married couple right here with a blue shirt? You're not married? Okay, let me minister to you first. I hear the Lord say that you've had a lot of vision for marketplace things, all right, and to do things in the marketplace outside of the church and to be impactful in that arena. And I heard the Lord say that before the end of the year, God's going to open up a door for you to step through where that will happen in a way that it hasn't happened prior to now. And that as you step through this door, you're going to come in contact with a lot of people that don't know the Lord, but you're going to have a real strong evangelistic anointing to speak into their lives and to see them brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And for my sister right here, I hear the Lord saying that he's given you strong gifts of organization, all right? And administration, you're able to look at things and see how they need to come together and to cause people even to be set in positions to make it all work. And I heard the Lord say that that gifting is going to really flourish and grow. And some of it will be for inside the kind of the church kingdom purposes, but a lot of it is going to be for outside of the church. And with that, favor and promotion is going to be at your hand. And so, Father, we just loose that now, Father, to my sister, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, let me just give you just maybe one or two others whose lives were changed in a day. One of the stories I really like is the story of Peter, you know, and Jesus really prophesied to Peter and said, you know, that before a cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And, of course, Peter was really the boisterous disciple. And he said, there's no way that's ever going to happen. I'm with you through anything thick or thin. I'm there, you know. And Peter was always bold, you know, if you needed somebody's ear chopped off, he was your go-to guy, all right? He was your go-to guy. But when it all began to happen and they began to take Jesus in Gethsemane, everything happened with Peter and fear hit him, all right? And he did that very thing. He, you know, denied Jesus two times, third time, cursed and denied Jesus for the third time, and then the cock crows twice. And so he's in a real kind of a desperate place, but he was repentant, you know. That shows what can happen through repentance, you know. No matter if you mess up and don't do things right, if you repent before the Lord, you're right back on track to be who God's called you to be. And so he was one of probably the leading apostle of that time. Signs, wonders, miracles, everything happened in a really great way. And then later on after this, it tells a story about he and John are walking to the temple, and they come by the man that's begging at the temple gate, who has been there for years doing that. And Peter says to him, look at us. We have something for you, all right? Now, what Peter knew was that when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said, who is Jesus? And Jesus said, I am he. When he said that, it leveled all of the Roman soldiers. It said that they were knocked flat by the power of Jesus just decreeing who he was. And so Peter knew that in the name of Jesus, he's got a lot of power. All right. And guess what? In the name of Jesus today, we have a lot of power. All right. And so he's walking by this man who's begging, and he says, look at us. And the man looked at him, and then Peter reached down, jerked him up, and the man started walking and leaping, praising God, and went with them, rejoicing into the temple. Now, The great thing about this story, I think, is that I don't ever believe this lame man ever thought he would be walking that day. Right? When Peter said, "Look at us, we've got something for you," what do you think he was expecting? Money. Yeah, he was expecting, hey, we've got to get some, I'm going to get some good money from these guys today. All right? And so he never thought about being healed. That's the way it works when we can just have a crack of expectancy, all right, in our life. God can begin to flood in as a God of superabundance and do more than we've ever thought, asked, or even dreamed about, just if we have a little bit of expectancy in our heart. And so this is a year where we need to get some cracks of expectancy, all right? And when we do that, God is going to rush in and cause some great things to happen for us. I'm going to share one more story about one of my grandsons, but right before I do that, I just want to pray for Pastors Mark and Becky and for Jubilee. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Pastors Mark and Becky, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for that apostolic prophetic anointing that rests on this couple, Lord, that they're moving in new realms and in new giftings for in this season of time. And the Lord would say that calling of the apostle is beginning to well up within you, son, in a way as never before. And the Lord would say you're going to be able to step into that even this year of 19 to birth some new things. For the Lord would say, son and daughter, I've set you to be leaders of leaders, says the Lord. And the Lord would say it will represent leadership within this house of Jubilee. But the Lord would say outside of this house, the Lord would say there's going to be other leaders who are going to begin to look to you for impact, for direction, and for oversight. And so the Lord would say that there's going to be a multiplication of networking that's going to begin to happen through your hearts and through your hands, says the Lord. And the Lord would say that it's always been a passion that I've put within you, even from a young age. But the Lord would say this is where the stage of the booster rocket is kicking in to take you to this next level, says the Lord. And the Lord would say there's going to be a new gathering anointing that's going to be again to rest upon you. And so the Lord would say prepare for the increase in this realm. And the Lord would say in the very same way that you've prepared for increase in the local church, the Lord would say now there's a preparation at hand outside of the local church. And the Lord would say I'm going to gather many to you. And the Lord would say that you're going to carry a message of not just church activity, but the Lord would say that you're going to carry a message of transformation for the marketplace and for cities. The Lord would say that you're going to impact lives of those that are strategically placed in financial arenas, in governmental positioning, even in some media and marketing placements. And the Lord would say this is a wave of the prophetic that's coming upon you to release to many others in the days and in the years ahead, says the Lord. And the Lord would say that even as you've always had the nations in your heart as well, the Lord would say, I'm not taking any of that away to do this next thing. But the Lord would say that too will cause, there will be a multiplication that will begin to happen there. And the Lord would say, even as you've had a target on some certain nations up to this point of time, the Lord would say that you're going to take the model that was established even there and begin to multiply it to other nations. And the Lord would say it's going to be fruitful, and the Lord would say many will be impacted as you touch their lives. And so, Father, we loose that anointing, Father. Father, and I thank you, Lord, for this season, for Jubilee, Lord, that it is truly a time, Lord, Father, of breakthrough that's reserved for strategic times, even as Jubilee years were set apart, designated times and designated breakthroughs. Lord, I thank you. This year of 19 is one of those. And Lord, we loose that now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, one of the things that needs to happen for us to kind of get this impact of being changed in a day is that we have to have hope in our heart that things can change, you know? And so one of the key things that the Lord wants to release to us this year is actually hope in our heart. Now, there's a lot of great scriptures about hope, and you know, a lot that you've heard, probably Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give us a future and a hope. All right, it talks about Christ within us is the hope of glory. There's a scripture that says that we can trust in God being a God of hope. But I want to give you an analogy. We have grandchildren at this point of time, all right, that we didn't have last time we were here. And of course, when you have grandkids, how many have some grandkids? All right. Your whole world just changes. And for those that aren't there quite yet, you'll find out that one day. And so we have four right now, one on the way. There's a little two-year-old, this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, and his name is Gail Sheehan. All right? It's my son's little boy, and he has my name, which was kind of hard to navigate to begin with. Although it does have some benefits, because like if there's ever a mess in the house and Shelly asks what happened, I can just say, Gail did it. But I can't use him as a scapegoat. I can't do that. But he thinks his blanket puts him to sleep. All right, he loves his blanket, but he thinks that it puts him to sleep. And so if he's tired and he wants to go to sleep, he loves that blanket. And he holds it and, you know, he can't get it away from him. But if he doesn't want to go to sleep, it doesn't even matter if he's really tired, he doesn't want that blanket to touch him, all right? And so if you put it on him, he'll throw it away. And you put it on him and he'll throw it away. It's because he thinks that blanket will lead him into sleep. Now I'm watching all this. And the Lord begins to speak to me, and he said, you know, sometimes we are like that, all right? And that sometimes God is trying to give us a blanket of hope that's going to lead to victory, and that we throw it away, all right? And that the reason we throw it away is because we've been disappointed at some point of time, all right? It says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so it means that if we were believing in something that didn't work out, we were praying about something that didn't happen the way we wanted it to, many times in those situations, our hope is affected, all right? And our hope falls to a lower level than it was at. And so I knew what the Lord was saying for this year was that he wants to birth hope in our heart in some new ways, all right? And that one of the ways that he wants to do that is for us to get rid of whatever impacted us in any previous time where we felt we were believing for something that didn't happen, all right? It can be someone passed away that you're believing to live. It can be, you know, financial foreclosures on homes that you were believing for. It can be family destinies that don't seem to be lining up. It can be any of those kind of things where you really would have done your best as you knew to do to pray, to intercede, and to cause something to happen, and it didn't happen, all right? And so I know the Lord wants us to get rid of the impact of some of those things. So I'm just going to have you stand with me, if you would, today. And we're just going to ask God to wash away every pain of things that would have tried to make our heart sick, and any hope deferred where it didn't turn out the way we would have expected it to. And we're just asking the Lord to wash us free from all of those, so that this year today we can be set free to dream again and to hope again for some big things that God wants to do. And he wants to be that God of superabundance, but we're going to have to get our hope level opened up to him to make that happen. And so I'm just going to invite you just to raise your hands with me, and I just want to pray over you today. Father, I thank you for each one here this morning, Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that by the washing of the water of the word, that we are set free from past things. Not just sin, Lord, but things that we would have hoped that would have happened, Lord, that didn't turn out the way that we believed it should. And Lord, we just trust you with those, Lord, even as the word of the Lord came to the house this morning about rolling things over unto the Lord in those seasons and in those times. We do that today, Lord. Father, we give it to you today. Father, the past things that would have seemed to be failures and disappointments and even victories that weren't won, Father, we give those to you today, God. And we ask that you would wash them away in every impact. And now, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to release blankets of hope to every person today, Lord. Father, in their heart to lay hold of the new things that you have for them, because you're a good God and you have the best plan for us. And so, Lord, we release now blankets of hope. Father, they're going to cause victories to happen, that are going to be things that will lead into victorious times. Lord, I thank you that we embrace those today, Lord, and we thank you for them, Lord. Father, even things that we've been believing for many, many years, Lord, this is a year of unlocking treasures of destiny. God, there are keys of David for locks for this year. And Lord, we thank you for every key, Lord, every blanket of hope, Lord, and every victory that you have for us. And we bless you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's lift up a shout to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. It's so good to see you all again. Shelly, my wife, we just bring greetings from her as well. She had some commitments that she couldn't make the city tour in Fargo, but our household is multiplying, and another one on the way. So everyone, we think this could be the last. This could be the last, but so far that's not been the case. But she sends her love and blessings, and so exciting to see what God is doing in your midst, but especially where he's positioning you to move forward this year. All right, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer, and I appreciate that word today that some of us have probably, you know, certain things we've been believing for just haven't happened for long periods of time. And I hope you take that with you, that God can make it happen in a day. God can make it happen in a day. It may have taken 20 years, but it may be just that one day where it all changes. And I hope that you've allowed that hope for that to happen, to arise in you. So let me pray that over you. And as I pray, prayer teams who are serving today, please make your way to the front. And before you leave, if you want prayer, we'll have a couple prayer teams that'd be happy to pray for you today. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you, God, that you're restoring hope. Lord, we do. We just let it go. We let it go, God. The disappointments, trying to figure out why, we let it go. We trust you. And God, we thank you that anything can happen in a moment with you. We thank you, God, that you can do more than we can imagine. So I pray today, God, that our hope, our faith has been lifted, and God, that we'll take all limitations off. Lord, help us to renew our minds, and I thank you, God, that in the rest of this year, we're going to see some breakthroughs happen in a day. We trust you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week, and come if you want prayer.